All right. Good afternoon. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Derek Whitelock. I work at the Jennings Laboratory in New Mexico, and I'm here to talk a little bit about research in contamination that's been going on actually across the country, at least across the Cotton Belt. It's not just my research, but the research that's going on at a lot of different places, and that's an important point to make. It's not just in one area. There's a lot of people working on this problem. So, of course, everybody here, I think, has heard so much about contamination that's been hammered away. But, you know, contamination comes from many different places. Either it could be trash that's in the field or plastics that are in the field because of poor agricultural hygiene. We could be come into the cotton stream at the gin yard, whether that has to do with module handling or module tarps that are worn out. Or it could be trash that's actually on the yard. You set a module on top of that. Or sometimes we get it introduced through issues at the gin, whether that's housekeeping or accidents. And so there are different areas that where it comes in, but we have the same result. We have issues with it when it gets to the mill. Just a quick look at, I guess, some history. If we look at the International Textile Manufacturers Federation survey, we can see here the graph on the left shows. This is all contaminations. We're not just talking about plastic. It has been on the rise over the years. And then if you look at the graph on the right, what I did was I went in and kind of teased some information out of that survey, and that black dotted line is actually the increase in plastic contamination from the ITMF survey since 2005. And it's kind of difficult to see, but actually the rate at which plastic contamination has increased over that time has been a lot greater than contamination, all the contamination combined. So it's become a more and more significant issue, not just in the U.S., but worldwide. It's become a big enough issue this year that we've seen a lot more of it in classing samples, and we've heard some talk about that, with 61 or 62 other classing, which means about 4 to 7 cents per pound. I believe that, and I don't have these exact figures right, but it was about 25 samples last year, not very many, but it's more than 1,000, or I think the number that we heard this morning was about 1,600 samples have been classed with some type of plastic contamination in them. We know that if we're seeing it in the classing samples, then there's quite a bit out there. And then we know that if we see it at the gin, it ends up in the samples, and it gets in the stream, then it's going to end up in the bale. We're going to see that as complaints coming from mills, and we know we hear that all the time from folks at National Cotton Council and Cotton Incorporated. And then it could end up in the yarn and cause issues there too. So it's an important issue, and it's something that we need to continue to look at. So what's being done about it? What's going on? And a lot of you have seen some of these slides. There are some new things in here. I promise it's not the same slides over and over again every year. But the first thing we know is that, and you guys have heard this on and on from National Cotton Council, from Cotton Incorporated, from National Cotton Ginners, we're trying to educate everyone on what to do, how to handle modules in the field, how to clean up the field before we harvest, what to do at the gin in terms of module handling and maintenance and housekeeping, what to do at the warehouses, all these different areas along the way where we can helpfully prevent contamination from entering into the stream. Many of you have seen these posters and these handouts, these things we can get online from National Cotton Council. They have a web page where you can download those things and look at them. And the main point here is that it's been a very large effort, year after year, of these guys coming out, talking to folks, trying to make sure that we really are aware of this and really stay diligent. Because that's what one of the main issues is, being diligent, keeping the plastics out. Once it gets into the cotton stream, it becomes another issue, and then it goes to me and these other guys who are doing research. But if we can keep it out of the cotton in the first place, then we've come a long ways. So now I'm going to talk about a little bit what the research is that's going on. And I want to make this point. I made it this morning if you were in the Gin Technology Committee meeting, but I'll make it again, is that I'm up here talking about research that's going on across the belt, and that's at the USDA Gin Labs. It's at the CSQ in New Orleans. It's work going on at Texas A&M with Alex Thompson and his group. It's work at Oklahoma State with Michael Buser and his grad student, Colin Craig, and also Begao Zhu at University of North Texas. We have a lot of different people working on this, a lot of people collaborating and spending time together to make this research happen and to try to solve this problem. So the first thing, I always have to give a plug for Chris Delhomme because he works a lot on these issues, and we deal with things at the gin, but then Chris has to deal with everything that we hear from the mill. And one of the things he's been working on is sources of contamination. Where does it come from? If we see it at the mill, where did that contamination come from? And he's been spending a lot of work on that. And he's traced it back to this one module. And that's pretty much where it all came from right there. So, but anyway, so he's been really involved, and we can't do our research without him helping us out. So if we look mainly at prevention, that's the first line of defense that we're looking at. And there's quite a few projects going on right now with that. This one in particular is infield plastic detection by Matthew Pelletier. He's been kind of the electronics guru guy that's been working on all these different issues, and he's helping me out. But in particular, this is what he's been working on. He has a camera system that we're actually using in several different places, but here he's using it on a harvester, and we hope that he's going to continue looking at this. And the idea is that if we can detect plastics in the field, you see here this picture in the middle. Let me see if I can get this mouse to show up. Oh, I might not be able to get it to show up. There it is. If you see this picture in the middle here, we have some yellow plastics in the field that he spiked the field with. And this picture over here is actually after the camera system processed that image, and we show that the white specks, I should never let that mouse go, there it is. The white specks show up, and that's the camera actually detecting that plastic. And the idea here is then that if we can see that plastic while we're going through the field harvesting, then we should be able to somehow then convince the driver to get off that harvester. And I've said that joke a bunch of times. We're not going to. You guys can come up with some good way to do that. You train an attack dog to make him leave. But and then pick up that plastic. I mean, I know it sounds like a lot, but you know that's the kind of things that we're going to have to probably address, is how to do those types of things. Another thing, which is a new exciting project that's being started actually this year. Bobby Harden did a little bit of this last fall. He's going to talk about it, I think, today or tomorrow. And that's using drones to detect the plastics in the field. They fly over the field. We use drones for everything now. I mean, FedEx is going to deliver packages. Surely we can see some plastic in the field and detect where that is, and then send the coordinates back to the farmer on his phone. Or the other idea, one of the things that Colin's working on, is then sending that information to an autonomous robot that could go in the field and actually get that plastic and go get it for you. And you see some pictures there. Colin has actually been pretty successful with this. He's already built a drone and a robot that works with Eastern Red Cedar in Oklahoma, where it detects the cedar, and then the robot goes out and cuts those cedar trees down for the rancher. And so he's already had some success, and he is a super bright grad student, and I think he's going to be able to tackle this problem for us. Another issue now, so those are some prevention issues. I mean, we know that no matter how hard we try, unfortunately, there's probably going to be some plastic that gets into the gin. And, of course, the first line of defense is at the module feeder. And so one of the issues, ways we're looking at is looking at video monitoring of the module feeder itself. And Alex Thompson and his group's been working on this. There's some work going on in Australia. And that is basically one of the things is to look at the cylinders in the module feeder. If we can detect when plastic gets wrapped up on that, then we can tell the ginner, we can indicate to them that they need to shut down or at least back the module off for a few minutes and try to clean that plastic off. Because when that stuff gets wrapped up, when it starts beating around, that's when we start having small pieces get into the stream. And he's been pretty successful. He's had this in a couple of gins in the last year. This last year, he's got, I don't know, something like 80,000 images he's got to look at and try to figure out how well it's working. And again, he's going to be working with Matthew on this, Matthew Pelletier at Lubbock, to use some of his technologies with color cameras to enhance that operation. And then we get into more color detection. We've been doing a lot of work with detection and some type of spectral sensing. And what we've fallen back to actually is looking for colored plastics. And the idea here is that this is less expensive than using infrared cameras or different kinds of spectral cameras, and something I think that most gins in the United States are going to be able to afford once we get it working. And this is an example of one that Matthew's been working on recently. He's even been working even more so on reducing the cost of this technology, so that we think that By the time you put this in all the places in the gin, it should be less than $10,000, I believe, with the cost of the cameras and all those things. Let me see if I can get this video to work. Earlier they were turning sideways, so you might have to get yourself ready to watch this. But so this is a video of Matthew's system actually working on a cotton stream going by and detecting these pieces of plastic. So let me try this again. You see there that what it's doing is it detects those blues and those yellow pieces of plastic and is drawing a square around them. And this is interesting to see because we've been working with still images up until now. But this technology, Matthew's been able to get it to work with cotton that's going by. A couple of things we're going to try to do is we're going to speed that flow up. This is actually pretty slow. I have a system at my lab where we can move the cotton at about 15 feet per second, which is about how fast I think cotton falls. And so we're hoping then maybe we can get this going and work with higher speed flows. Another thing that's being worked on at University of North Texas by Begao Zhu, along with Matthew also. Matthew's like the techno guru here. He's got his fingers dipped in all these pies. And that's using laser reflectance. And the idea here is that if you put a laser on the cotton flow, the cotton is fuzzy and it makes the laser beam, you can see that here. I can make this work. It makes the laser beam, the light look kind of fuzzy. And as it goes across the plastic, that laser beam is nice and smooth. The light's nice and smooth. And we can use those differences to detect when plastic goes by. It doesn't matter what color it is. Doesn't matter what type it is. It just matters that it's not cotton and it's not something fuzzy. So this is an interesting idea they're looking at. It needs to be in a place where the cotton's very well spread out, which would probably end up being probably at the right there at the gin stand on the feeder breast. But it has some real possibilities, I think, and it has a... there's going to be some good work coming out of there. Of course, we need to extract that material once we see it, if we can detect it. This is some work that was done earlier, but I always like to put this up because we're looking at current machinery. And Bobby Harden and Rick Beiler did some of this work before. One of the things I want to point out is that we have to really figure out is when they sent this plastic through current machines, the different machines did well in different areas. But about 17% of the lint of the plastic they found was getting into the lint, and that's too much. Of course, there was about 13% they couldn't even find. So who knows where that ended up? But hopefully the only problem is we think that would probably end up in lint later on. So we've got some things to do. But this kind of work has led to some ideas about machine modifications, how we can change those machines. Bobby's been working on changing air flows for a cylinder cleaner or changing the cylinder speeds to improve that extraction. And this is a good idea because we don't have to have detection. It can just happen on all the cotton as it goes through. Another thing we're trying out, and you've got a lot of you have seen these videos, but it's something we're still pursuing, and that's using electrostatics. I know that ginners complain about static in the gin, but actually, plastics pick up static electricity much more so than cotton does. And we can see that in this video here. You see, we have a 30 kilovolt charge on this cylinder. The cylinder is grounded. And as we move that cylinder and the cotton turns around, what happens is the cotton falls off. It doesn't generate that much static charge. On the other hand, if we apply that voltage to this electric field to this cylinder with baling twine, which is plastic, polypropylene. As we turn that, what happens is that polypropylene sticks to that grounded cylinder. And we think this is something we can use to encourage, and I don't say extract because it's not a very strong force, but we can encourage the plastic to move away from the cotton. We can treat it not, you know, hopefully it won't like cotton anymore and want to go away. That's the idea. We're also working on ways to actually get that plastic away from the cotton, fluff it up so that we can then use some of these technologies like the statics to help move it away, but we have to get it unbound from the cotton first. And that may be with beaters. It may be with some air to fluff it up. I would show you this video, but it will turn sideways and you won't be able to see it. I've been doing some work to blow up air through cotton and through different contaminants to see how well they lift up in an airstream. And we think we have some differences there that we can use. So I just have one or two more points, and then I'll be done. One is people ask me all the time, well, don't these machines already exist? Don't they have them in mills? Why can't we use that? And those machines, there are some machines that exist to detect contaminants, plastic contamination at the mill. But we have a different animal here. We're talking about seed cotton as opposed to lint, so we don't have this nice white background that we can deal with, and that makes it a more difficult problem for us. The other thing is those machines work with, say, 4,000 pounds an hour to mill, and we're working with throughputs in greater capacity than 45,000 pounds an hour. That's a 30 bale an hour gin. So there's a big difference there, and so we have a different set of problems that we're working with. One point I want to make, let me go back here and then I'm done, is that I think that this is an important issue in the U.S. and we're working on it diligently. But I think also that, and I was just in Uzbekistan a couple months ago, and I'm talking with people there, and we need to reach out, I think, to community researchers in the world on this issue, at least, in contamination, because contamination is a world problem. And you saw in the very beginning, it's been going up and up over the years, and it hurts cotton. And the main competition we have is not with other countries, I believe, with cotton, especially in terms of contamination, but with man-made fibers. And if we can solve this issue, then it'll bring cotton up all over, and hopefully we'll increase our market share against human man-made fibers. Thank you.
So let me get this straight. We accumulate all our gin byproducts after we've ginned, and they sit out there in compost. And that 13% we never see is going out there in that whole pile, and we're taking that out and putting it on the field as a soil amendment then? Okay. Well, that's a beautiful country.